It is really good to be back at Cottonwood. Got to watch online while we were in Greece, and just want you to know we had a wonderful, wonderful trip that later on, just in about 15 minutes, you'll get to hear from team, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 25. No, just kidding. And I just wanted to, again, thank you for just through the years of how we have and have had a church whose people, yes, is on the altar. 25 years ago, if you're new to us, we began a journey, and that journey was to pursue the glory of God to the ends of the earth, to go to places where God's glory was not known, where His name was not known, and they had no opportunity on that given day to ever hear of the gospel. So unlike our culture. I mean, how many churches did you pass on the way here today? How many Bibles do you have in your home? How many Christian stations can you turn to? How many people have heard the name Jesus, even though they might not understand who this Jesus is? We have probably about 20 vacation Bible schools around Erath County alone this summer. Parent can take their children to church, can take their children to vacation Bible school, and maybe even two or three vacation Bible schools. And yet there are children all over the world who will not hear the name Jesus. 1 point something billion people who do not have access to the gospel. And 25 years ago, we took that challenge and we pursued His glory to Southeast Asia, to that big country, and that we've been sending hundreds of people. And we've seen such a great work amongst these people called the Hani. Such a great work of churches planted in that region. Probably anywhere from 800 to 900 churches or groups that have been planted. And God has led us to Mexico, and God has led us to Cambodia, and God is leading us to Greece. And we're just really grateful for the trip. Now, it's interesting because back in September, we were in the area where a lot of the first churches are, okay? And so we're in a place called Troas. I've shared this online. But we were in Troas, and there's an archaeological site there with nothing but ruins, and lots of it is just covered up by trees. Standing on top of these arches that was once the gymnasium of the community. And it was Troas that I want to tell you about from this passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 16. Okay. We're going to look at verses 6 and following. Paul and Silas are on their second missionary journey. The thought was that Paul and Barnabas would go and visit all the churches that they had planted on the first missionary journey. Now, all these churches are in a region that was called Asia Minor. It's Turkey. And they were visiting these churches, and they moved up from Jerusalem and went up the coast of the Mediterranean, and they went into Syria, and they spoke to the churches there. They had words from the church at Jerusalem of things that they needed to observe, and they were reporting that, and the Scripture says the churches were being strengthened. In verse 6, it says, they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They're on a journey, and they want to get into some places that they've not been before. And God, the Holy Spirit, living God, is forbidding them to go in. They can't go in. We're in the middle of a series called The Work of the Spirit, or being led by the Spirit, or life in the Spirit. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is how you walk by the Spirit and how you're led by the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. You'll fulfill the fruit of the Spirit if you walk by the Spirit. And then there's this thought of being led by the Spirit that you see all in Acts, where this new church is being led. They're walking by the Spirit and they're being led by the Spirit to go into places and to not go into places. because they're attuned to the voice of God. They're attuned in their hearts. And so then the scripture says they came to a place called Mysia, and they were trying to go into Bithynia, which is northern Turkey. And the scripture says the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. In passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, a coastal city. Matter of fact, on those arches, you could see the city, you could see the ocean, or you could see the sea. And they're there, and they're just kind of in a standstill. We can't go to Asia. We can't go to northern Turkey. What are we to do? Where are we to go? And the scripture says that a vision, in verse 9, appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, it's really interesting because I think about this call, and I think about the call of God on our lives and upon the church, that we still, in many ways, have a Macedonian call on every one of us. Matter of fact, what I've been finding in my study of life in the Spirit, that every time God says the Spirit is given, yes, it is about coming to faith, but it is about sharing that faith. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will be witnesses, Scripture says. Breathe. He breathes the Holy Spirit upon them. We saw a couple of weeks ago. And then what does he says? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The gospel is not about having a better life for your flesh. More money, better health. I mean, we go on and on and on about all the things that the church or people promise. The Spirit is to come to empower you to be a witness at home, ends of the earth, and every place in between. A witness that looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, and does the work of Jesus in this life. You and I have a message to speak to people. And I want to ask you, when's the last time you spoke that message of the gospel to somebody who needed it? When's the last time? Because I want to tell you that the things that we do missionally is not about going someplace to share the gospel. It's about pursuing the glory of God and reflecting Him to the places that God has called us to as a church family. And if you're new to us, or and you've become a part of us, or you're thinking about becoming a part of us, this is what you get when you're part of our church. We go to the ends of the earth. Because God compels us. And it doesn't mean that you might, it doesn't mean that just automatically you're going to get on a plane someday. Most of us have not gotten on planes to go overseas. And that's okay. But you've prayed and you've supported and you've blessed and you've given and you've said yes and you're still open to getting on that plane. Paul gets the Macedonian call. There's a man he knows is from Macedonia that's saying, come over and help us. They get on a ship the next day. And they go over to help them. Now, this is not some kind of humanitarian aid trip. It's just not. I mean, the things that we do in China are humanitarian as well as sharing the gospel. They don't load up a ship full of stuff to bring. What do they load up? They load up their hearts with the gospel to bring. First and foremost, this is a call to come into Europe, folks, where the first church is planted in Europe. Macedonia, a place called Thrace. We were staying in a place that you could see the island of Samothrace, a place that he stays one night after the vision of Troas. Here's my point, just immediately. God will always lead you to the places you're to go, and He'll show you the places where not to go. The question is, do I have a heart to go? Because the Macedonian call is the heart of every single person who's ever lived. Come help me. I need help. Every one of us in this place have something in common. We were created in the image of God to reflect His glory, and we come into this life with a sinful nature. And before you know it, we're sinning. We come into this place with a sin nature that will sin when we get older. We're very young when we start this because we have a flesh nature. And the Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one that is good, no one who does good. We need Jesus. And at some point, we grow up knowing that there's something missing in our lives. And we grow up, and lots of folks don't grow up knowing what that is. And so they chase to be popular when they're kids, and they drink with the popular, they do what the popular people do, and they drink and they smoke and they run after fleshly stuff. Why? To fill up the God-shaped hole that only God can fill. They don't know that it's a relationship with Jesus that fills the heart with the peace of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, the satisfaction that we find in knowing Jesus and walking after Him. And it's the Macedonian call. We just don't know that. We're crying out. People are crying out right now, come over and help us. And yeah, we meet real needs. But the real needs of the outward man is not the one need that everybody needs. It's the need for Jesus. And this is what they're going to do to help. Come over and help us. God has forbidden them to go into Asia. God has forbidden them to go to Bithynia. They're standing around, and then in that night, the vision comes. And the Bible says that when the vision comes, immediately, verse 10, we sought to go into Macedonia, and concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. That's what they're concluding. They need the gospel. Listen, America doesn't need some kind of political action group to lead us. America needs Jesus. And you and I, the church, have the gospel. Political ideology will not save a soul. It's the gospel. The gospel, the good news. The good news is that God did what you could never do for yourself, and that is shed His blood and save you and deliver you and pull you out of the pit and put Jesus or the Spirit of Jesus in your life so that you can live for Him the rest of your life. Coming to take away your sin, to destroy the works of the devil in your life, to conform you into the image of Jesus so that you and I are being conformed into that image, to walk after Him and to reflect Him in both character and ministry. And this is our heart here. This is our desire here. When I think about God leading us to the places we're to go, and the things that we're to do, He does that several ways in Scripture. Number one, through conviction from the Word of God and the calling of God. And by the way, this is really just the point. Through the conviction that we see in the Word of God, and everything else flows out of that. We know how to live as husbands and wives from the Word of God. We know how to live as moms and dads through the Word of God. We know how to live as businessmen and businesswomen through the Word of God. We learn how to live with people in our job through the Word of God. The Word of God instructs us and tells us how to live. And oftentimes it's the conviction of the Spirit. And a reminder, again, I said it already, I say it again, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. 7 through 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. A witness. He's a worshiper. She's a follower of Jesus who reflects the goodness and character and ministry of Jesus. A witness. God gives His Holy Spirit to equip you and to lead you in all the ways of Jesus. And we were led through conviction, but we're also led through promptings of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, you find this great story of Philip, where the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, you go down to this place I want to send you to. Get out of the, stop doing what you're doing here. I know it's ministry. I know a lot of great things are happening, but I want you to go down to this desert road. And I think he scratches his head. The desert road, there's nothing down there. You want me to go to this crossroad where there's not even a gas station? Well, I mean, there's no gas stations at that time, but a barn or a home or a house. What does he do? He gets up and he goes. And the Ethiopian eunuch is passing by, reading Isaiah, reading about the Messiah. And you know what the Holy Spirit says to him? Go up to the chariot. And so he follows the prompting of the Spirit of God in that moment, having been instructed by an angel to go. And he obeys the prompting of God. It's a 70-mile walk, for goodness sake. 70 miles. And yet, heaven meets earth. Heaven meets Ethiopia through an official to the queen. Comes to Jesus, and it's my understanding there are churches in Ethiopia that say, we were founded when that eunuch came back and shared the gospel to Ethiopia. 2,000 years. That witness that Philip gave to the eunuch and the eunuch gave. Why? All because of the prompting of God. Because it didn't make sense to go. It wouldn't make sense to go to where nobody was. And sometimes those promptings, we don't really think, and sometimes we don't really think, oh, the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this or telling me to do that. A lot of times the promptings come and we go and we go, oh, that was God. Amen. We're just wanting to seek him. We're just wanting to follow him. We're just wanting to be a part of what God has. And then there's the promptings of the Holy Spirit through the church. Acts 13:2 says that the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them to. And then when they had fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away. Sometimes the church sees something in you and says, could it be? Could it be that this trip, this work, this ministry in the house, in with our youth, with anything that we're doing, we have a feeling that's you. We think maybe the Spirit of God's speaking. And then sometimes he speaks in visions. Vision comes. It's very specific. Now, let me just say this. Every one of us ought to be having some kind of vision. You know what a vision is? A vision is seeing something that's not, that could be. Nehemiah did that when he was inspecting the walls. And he had this vision of what could be. In a few short months, had those walls built. People of vision. People prompted by the Spirit of God. People of the Word of God. So that when you hear or see the need, you see, come over and help us. Come over and help us. It's the cry of the human heart. It's the cry of the fallen, the lost, those with no relationship with God, trying to make it to God, trying to make it to peace, to joy, to understanding. People in darkness wanting the light. People hungry and thirsty for the things of God. They just don't know with it. They just don't know it. Come over and help me. Come over. And we go armed with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, armed with gifts and callings, armed with the armor of God to declare the word of the Lord. And it may be across the hall, come over and help me. Across the schoolyard, across the break room, across the street, across the pasture, across a parking lot, across a border, across the state, across the city. Come over and help us. And I just want to tell you that we went on this trip, something that we've been praying for 2 years, about God putting a specific Muslim group on our minds and hearts. 2 years. And I'm just saying, just through the things that God has been doing here and the things that we saw, we just believe that God is calling Cottonwood to that part of the world to reach an unreached people group without the gospel. Another one.
And we want to talk to you about that right now. And for that to happen, because of some security things going on, we're going to have to say bye to our online folks. Now, this is being recorded, so it's just not being aired right now. So it's just a moment. You're going to have to bear with us. We won't come back on, but it'll be recorded, and it'll be available for you to ask for Wayne to send it to you. So I want us to pray right now. We're going to go offline. The team is going to come on up. If y'all come on up, and let us talk to you about what we saw and what God is doing with this Macedonian call. Because, folks, we've been to Macedonia. I got to preach in 20 minutes from Philippi, where the first church is started. And I'm just so excited to share this with you today. Pray with me. Father, I want to thank you for our online folks as they get off for today. I ask that the Lord bless them and keep them, make his face shine upon them. I pray, God, that you would just move in their hearts in a mighty way. I want to thank you for them being here today. And I pray that the Macedonian call would just resonate with them and would resonate with us in this place. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.